Welcome to Mind and Movement, getting smart about how you move. I'm Hazel. Thank you so much for joining me for another Move Note. Today, the book we are discussing is No Sweat, How the Simple Science of Motivation Can Bring You a Lifetime of Fitness by Michelle Seeger, PhD. The key points we're going to talk about today are 1, what's meaningful for you? Number 2, right why versus wrong why? Number 3, self-care. What are your fundamentals? Number 4, more movement, yes please. And number 5, get moving. Today we'll start with Michelle. She says, quote, "But one particular thing I learned grabbed onto me and wouldn't let me go. Despite the pioneering findings showing that motivation is inextricably connected to our personality and to the self, in today's typical conversations about promoting healthy lifestyles and self-care behaviors, professionals really talk about the self. Yet, the secret to achieving sustainable self-perpetual behavior change lies precisely in understanding how to create goals, motivation, and behavior that reflect what is most aligned with and meaningful to our sense of self." End quote. That's Michelle Seeger from No Sweat. No Sweat is the perfect title for this book. No sweat is a term we use to let others know that something is not difficult or problematic. And if you read this book and engage with all of the questions and processes, getting in a ton of daily movement will be no sweat for you. Michelle Seeger has written a truly inspiring book, and it is a fun and super interesting read. If you love geeking out on research and having that research broken down into practical, useful tools, then this book will give you a lifetime of joyful movement. Michelle takes us through her MAPS, Meaning, Awareness, Permission, and Strategy program. We must first understand what exercise means for us, become aware of why we haven't made the time to discover activities we enjoy, give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves, and then make a plan to make sure we do. That brings me to the first key idea, which is what's meaningful for you. Here's Michelle, quote, "My research and other science suggest that people are more likely to sustain behaviors that are essential to their daily lives in immediate and noticeable ways." End quote. This begs the question, for you, what behaviors are essential in immediate and noticeable ways? I'm going to give you some time to think about that. There's a space in the PDF to write your answers. So, what behaviors are essential in immediate and noticeable ways? For me, I know that if I eat really well, I don't have these slumps in my energy throughout the day. So that gives me really noticeable behaviors. And for me, when I move, while I'm moving, and directly after for up to 4 or 5 hours, I feel much better than I would have if I hadn't moved. Get busy and write your answers in the PDF now. This also begs the question, what's important to you? It's amazing how many of us don't take the time to sit and reflect on what's important and what behaviors need to become habits so that life is filled with things that are meaningful. So take some time and think, what's important to you? Again, there's some space in the PDF, or just take a moment and think about it. What's actually important to you? If you find that movement/exercise is not important to you, then this needs to change. Our bodies require movement for biological function, and without movement, your cells cannot operate at their best. You must find a way to make movement and exercise meaningful and important to you. What does movement exercise mean to you? Is it something you love to do that gives you a huge amount of joy, or is it a chore? Is it something that you don't like doing but think that you should do? If the latter is the case, then you need to change the way you think about movement/exercise. You need to find an activity that you enjoy. It's your call. Find something you love, and then movement becomes a gift. Michelle says, quote, "If you want to change your behavior in ways you'll sustain, it's very important to understand that our feelings tend to trump logic and the specific outcomes we hope for in theory, end quote. If you feel like doing an activity, chances are you'll do it. But if you feel like you should do something because you've been told it's good for you, chances are you won't do it. So stop thinking you should be going to the gym 5 days a week and start taking those 20-minute walks that you always enjoy. In the book, Michelle quotes Gretchen Rubin, author of The Happiness Project. Gretchen says, quote, "A 20-minute walk that I do is better than a 4-mile run that I don't do," end quote. Michelle says in response to that, "Amen, sister," and I'm right with you too. Amen, sisters, that's what it's all about. And that brings me to the next key idea, right why versus wrong why. Here's Michelle, quote, "But when eating and moving becomes something that we should do or have to do rather than something we want to do, this undermines motivation and participation big time," end quote. Many of us choose to move in ways that we don't enjoy and that feel bad. Why? It's because we have been taught that to get health benefits, we must exercise for specific durations, at specific intensities, etc. But this simply isn't true. All movement counts, and the more we move, the better. Joan Vernikos, the former director of life sciences at NASA, says that in our natural state, we are perpetual movement machines. Choosing the wrong why will cause you to move / exercise less. If we want to become perpetual movement machines, taking every opportunity to move, we must choose a right why. Here's Michelle, quote, "My colleagues and I found that 75% of participants cited weight loss or better health, current and future, as their top reasons for exercising. The other 25% exercised in order to enhance the quality of their daily lives, such as to create a sense of well-being or feel centered. Then we measured how much time they actually spent exercising over the course of the year. The answer may seem counterintuitive, but it's true. The vast majority of the participants whose goals were weight loss and better health spent the least amount of time exercising overall, up to 32% less than those with other goals," end quote. Wow, that is simply amazing. It seems that while losing weight and gaining better health are good reasons to exercise, they are not effective at motivating us to actually do the exercise. These are all examples of the wrong why. These reasons are not intrinsically motivating. Moving or exercising because you want to lose weight, because you want to look a certain way in the future, or because you want to be healthier in the future. Even though these are good reasons to exercise, they are not very effective at motivating us to exercise. These are all examples of the right why. These reasons are intrinsically motivating. You choose to move because you know you feel crap if you don't move / exercise on a given day. You love going for walks with your friends. You move because it gives you a boost of energy. These whys are effective at motivating us to choose to move today. I move because I really enjoy it. It helps me feel good in my body today. I know that if I feel crappy mentally or physically, that moving in any way, shape, or form will make me feel better. And I now know that the more I move, the better I feel. I've learnt over time that movement makes me feel good, and that's why I'm a perpetual motion machine, looking for micro movements and opportunities to move all day long. Michelle says, quote, "When a self-care behavior becomes a daily need, we sustain it," end quote. That's magic. How can you experiment with new joyful movement activities so that your movement becomes a daily need? And on that note, what's your one right why? I've left, again, some space in the PDF for you to write that down there. What's your one right why? So my right why is because it feels awesome right when I'm doing it and straight after I'm doing it. Here's Michelle again, quote, "Why is the foundation of the entire behavior change process," end quote. So if you want to make daily movement part of your daily life, I suggest you grab the book and discover your right why right away. And now the next key idea, self-care. Do you get enough sleep, move the amount you'd like to, eat food that makes you feel energized and alive? To boost our energy physically and psychologically, we must take care of the fundamentals. Sleeping, moving, exercising, eating wonderful real food, and spending time with people we love are some of the key behaviors we must engage in if we want to feel radiantly alive. If you are feeling less than amazing, these are the fundamental behaviors you need to start chipping away at. May I suggest you start with improving your sleep? Matthew Walker's great book, Why We Sleep, is an absolute must read. It's astonishing how little humans sleep these days, and it's amazing what healthy sleep does for your entire being. I've bolded this in capitals. Please read Why We Sleep. Seriously, if there's one book you read this year, make it that one. A good self-care routine will leave you buzzing and full of energy. Michelle says, quote, "The understanding that self-care is a practical tool that we can use to fuel our daily functioning and performance changes the essential nature of self-care and its role in our lives. In this new mindset, self-care is no longer a goal competing with other daily responsibilities. Instead, it's the power source, an autonomous facilitator of everything we want to accomplish." End quote. I love that quote. Go back and listen to that one again. It's awesome. So if you want to be a present parent, a loving partner, a great workmate, and if you want to achieve and do the things that are important to you, then you must have energy. How do you get more energy? You engage in the fundamentals, what Michelle calls self-care. You prioritize sleep, movement, good food, and quality family time. How could you improve your sleep, movement, and other fundamental behaviors? Write your answers here. Again, there's space in the PDF, so get writing while we jump into the next key idea, more movement. Want to know how to get more movement and exercise in your life? Prioritize it. Michelle calls this giving physical activity clout. Choose to look for the ways that daily movement brings value to your life. The second thing you can do is to count everything. All movement counts. You don't have to do a 45-minute sweaty routine to get in some movement. Everything counts. Walking counts. Michelle has some awesome tips in her book, so jump in and find them in there. Joan Vernikos's book, Sitting Kills Moving Heals, also has some awesome ideas. But you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know how to move your body more. You know what to do. Get on it. Michelle says, quote, "Opportunities to move and enjoy physical movement are quite literally everywhere," end quote. And, quote, "Take any and every opportunity to move in any way possible, at whatever speed you like, for any amount of time. Do whatever makes you feel good. Stop doing what makes you feel bad," end quote. And on that note, you should listen to the note I did recently on the joy of movement. I believe that the last quote in that book is the best movement advice ever. So jump into The Joy of Movement by Kelly McGonigal and find that there. And let's hit the last key idea, get moving. In the book, Michelle has many amazing questions and processes to help you discover what exercise means to you, what movements you love, and the things that will keep you motivated to move for a lifetime. I highly recommend you get the book and work through all the questions if this is speaking to you. In the meantime, here are some questions that I love answering for myself every few months. These questions come from my movement teacher, Katie Bowman. You can find out more about Katie at www.nutritiousmovement.com. The first question is, are you moving the way you want to be moving? The second question, in which areas of your body or life have you begun to move better? The third question, in which areas do you still desire to move more? And the fourth question, what changes can you make in your life to meet your needs? If your body is not working for your life, then it is your life that needs to change for your body. Instead of trying to create a healthy or fit body, start by creating a life that is healthy or fit. Create a life in which you have time to move and do the things that are important to you. If your life is unfit, then your body will always be unfit also. Create an environment for yourself and those you love that requires you to move in ways you enjoy. Find those opportunities to move, opportunities to love, and those opportunities to find joy. If you don't start looking for them, you'll never find them. Okay, that's a super quick look at this awesome book, No Sweat, by Michelle Seeger. Michelle's an awesome human. You can find out more about her at michelleseeger.com. She's a best-selling author and sustainable behavior change scientist and directs the University of Michigan Sport Health and Activity Research and Policy Center. She has translated science into sustainable behavior change messages and programming for decades and is a recognized pioneer and leading authority in this field. Her comprehensive, science-based, and tailored approach to creating sustainable behavior change related to healthy lifestyles and well-being has made her a sought-after speaker, sustainable behavior change trainer, consultant, and learning/intervention expert for global organizations seeking to accelerate and sustain positive change. That's from her website, which, as I said, is michelleseeger.com. I recommend you check it out and subscribe to her newsletter. Of course, you can find out more about me and other Move Notes at mindinmovement.co.nz. I hope you've enjoyed the content of this note, but please remember that it is not medical advice and should not be used as such. Have an awesome day.